Good morning. Welcome to David Foster Wallace and Gromit, the only officially unlicensed Infinite Jest fan cast. It's been a while since we've recorded. This feels really awkward going back into it. I feel like we last time we recorded was the beginning of the month. But anyway, I'm your host, Jared. With me as always is Steve, coming in live and direct via satellite to discuss the seminal works of David Foster Wallace. I guess a couple things. Before we get into the goofs and spoofs that normally are just overflowing from this podcast, from this nice acoustic medium. The first of which is, it's been a while since we recorded. We're going to try and get back on regular schedule with a short story as of tomorrow, or as of Sunday, so we can get back on a Sunday posting schedule. And then, obviously, this summer, we're going to switch to whatever will best suit, I guess, what we're choosing to read. I know, Steve, you were talking last week about wanting to maybe do Moby Dick. So we can, that's definitely, you know.
Right.
Beach.
As a larger kind of month-long project.
Right, over the course of
a thought that I had.
Yeah, over the course of a couple episodes, 3-4 episodes. It's certainly beach adjacent for the David Foster Wallace and Gromit Beach Club, as well as the David Foster Wallace and Gromit Fitness Club. So I think that'd be nice.
And I think it's something neither of us have read in a while. I know certainly with me, it's definitely something that I need to revisit.
And I think it'd be really cool, now that we've read Billy Budd, to go to something that's a little more cohesive, a little more straightforward, a narrative, a little more digestible.
So-so.
More so than Billy Budd, though.
Actually, probably not. Moby Dick is arguably the most dynamic book ever written.
Yeah, but in an intriguing way. Billy Budd was like, once you kind of got the... God damn it. Alright, for those listening at home, Steve is ripping up paper towels to blow his nose, so don't be alarmed by the ripping and tearing.
Yeah, sorry about that. I forgot. Yeah, I've fallen ill with the bubonic plague.
Yeah, Steve, like Matilda in this week's novella selection, is taking up with
my,
the consumption.
I'm on my last two legs.
Yeah, he's watching the sunrise on that fateful May morning, taken by the consumption.
Well, not yet. I will be in come May. I will be. Yes.
Yeah. You have a few somber days left as you write Woodville, your memoir. But no, the other thing I just wanted to say is that today's Holocaust Remembrance Day, and make sure you take a second out of your day.
I mean, no one needs to be. I don't think anybody reading this podcast is like, man, I really need someone to remind me to think about the Holocaust.
Well, no, I'm not saying... Yeah, sorry, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying, like, hey,
take
a second and remember how horrifying this was. I'm just saying that I think since there is a lack of education, which I can send you the link, there is a lack of education, and I think that if you know anyone in your life whose family may have been personally directed, obviously, like, I'm not going to say names, but people over at BT, if you know someone in your life who has an experience like that or has a family member like that, not necessarily today because it is pandering and it wouldn't feel like a, oh, my token Jew friend move. But, you know, never feel uncomfortable asking people, like, never feel uncomfortable educating yourself or trying to learn more about those experiences. Yeah, sorry, this wasn't supposed to be hacky or wasn't supposed to be inappropriate. It's just, yeah, it's just, like, this segment, like this podcast on the whole, is just focusing on, like, hey, educate yourself. If you feel you don't know enough about something, period, go out of your way to learn more. Go out of your way to take an interest in it. That's it. That's my two cents.
I understand.
Anyway, so that's the serious note, or more serious note, I guess, between the apology and that. No emails of note this week, nothing to dig into. And I think that's going to lead us directly into Tasty Tipples. Or, was it Tasty Tipple? Tasty Tipple.
Tasty.
Tasty Tipples. Do you have a tipple this week, outside of your soup and your paper towels?
No, I am just... I mean, I've been drinking water and juice. You know, the usual thing.
I don't know if juice is good for you when you're sick.
Depends on how strong of an immune system you have.
Yeah. I mean, juice is good for sugar.
Mine basically transforms glucose into steel.
Oh, okay. All right.
So I can just coat my liver and my stomach and my kidneys with that. So
yeah, for those listening who are familiar with our visual podcast that we did in the beginning that we were uploading to YouTube, Steve now is far and beyond a more developed man than he was then. Steve now is not only wider than he is tall in stature, but his he has developed his body, his muscular structure in a way that he is able to perform these incredible feats of strength and these incredible feats of near inhuman or subhuman. I wouldn't say superhuman, right, but rather subhuman.
subhuman degrees.
Yeah, yeah. So him being able to alchemy-like transmute juice into a sort of right. stomach lining is not unheard of by any means.
Right.
And all the ripping you're hearing is actually him just tearing phone books in half to just keep that forearm strength up in this trying
time. The problem is I have a lot of people to call, but I hate phone books. And so I have to rip them apart. I don't like the concept of books. And mm-hmm. so I have to rip them apart page by page. Yeah. And that allows me to adequately find the people that I'm trying to call.
Yeah. Oh, that's why we started this podcast, because we are relegated with our digital medium, and obviously, like, via a Skype call, we're relegated only to ebooks and to available media like that. So when you say you hate books, it's really no surprise to me at this point. Almost
right.
6 months into this pod.
It's a really big problem for me, and I kind of get this steel-induced rage,
mm-hmm.
And I take it out on reading material.
Yeah.
Also, nooks. If you're around me, keep your nooks away, because I have this tendency to dump them into bodies of water.
Yeah, no nooks, no books. Anything else?
Unless it's waterproof.
Oh.
No nooks, no books.
Sure.
And no looks. Don't even look at me.
Yep.
And if you're a cook, don't even think about coming near me.
So let me just get this straight.
This bit's run its course, but I think it's good for people to know. I think it's good for people to understand
mm-hmm.
what sets someone off, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's not just me, it could be anybody.
Well, it's mostly you. What you're describing right now is whenever you... This is like a top text, bottom text meme where it just says, like, when Steve doesn't... And then the bottom says, like, get his J beans. And then it's just, like, you ripping a phone book in half. Or...
just raged. Enraged.
You're a mess.
If I don't get my J beans, like I said, I want a sponsorship from Safeway Select or something like that.
I've been thinking about those J beans a lot. I've been thinking about, in terms of food that I really miss, this is such like a sad thing to say. And I think it speaks volumes to like how I'm living my life currently. In food, in terms that I really miss that I don't go out of my way to get nearly enough, it's the Safeway brand J beans and Taco Bell.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. There's a Taco Bell in on like North Aurora that Ashley and I went to once because I was like, man, I'm fiending for it. Because when I was working in Bellevue with Nate, basically, so 3-4 days a week, I was going to get in Taco Bell, and I was eating a lot of Taco Bell.
Right.
Like it was a lot, and it was like
those are the Nate days. The Nate days are dark times.
They're dark times, but like they're fiscally very interesting times when you think about it.
Fiscally.
Impressive.
Up in the air.
Yeah. Well, and it was just wild because it'd be like, so a regular day would be wake up, arrive at work an hour late with nothing in my stomach save like 3 cups of coffee, get to work, eat like 4 Clif Bars, and then just sit with like a knot in my stomach.
Then you have to get rid of it after an hour.
Well, no, I was retaining a lot, but don't do this. But no, so then I hated my job so fucking much, and I was so bored that I was just like, oh, how much water can I drink today? So when I got there at like 8, before 10 a.m., I will have had my gallon of water. And then everything after the fact was just me like flushing my system. I was peeing constantly. And then come noon or 1 o'clock, I think lunchtime shifted a little bit over my course there. Either Nate and I or Kiz Martin and I would go to Taco Bell, and for $5, I'd get like 4 burritos. I'd eat 3 of them. I'd feel like I want to die. I'd take a nap in my car for like a half hour, and then I'd finish the other burrito and go back inside. And then I would just sit at my desk until 4 o'clock when the boss left, and I could go on Reddit and look at memes on the computer. The best memory, and then obviously like at night it'd be you, me, and Josh just going into doing something real fuck all ignorant and eating like shit then too. A lot of street food, a lot of bad food. My favorite memory though was the same day that we went to Nate's for the drive-in theater was the day when at work we pulled up to the Taco Bell drive-thru and on the floor of Nate's car, I found a $5 bill, and I was like, oh, let me get this, this, this. And then I was like, let me get these things. And he's like, all right. And we pulled up to the window, and he looked at me for the money, and I handed him his own $5 bill that I found on the floor. And he was like, hey, I appreciate that, man. And I think I got like three burritos, and he was like, hey, can you actually spot me for one of mine? And I was like, oh yeah, sure. And I gave him his own $5 bill. And I was like, all right, fine by me.
All right, give me a second. I gotta go get more Kleenex.
God damn it, Steve.
I'm sorry.
For everyone listening, wow. Yeah, for everyone listening, I'm gonna have to. Jesus. For everyone listening at home, Steve is in front of me via Skype, completely naked, complaining about how cold he is.
the reason
Steve, why are you cranky at home?
Clothes, right? Quit being so cranky and just put on some clothes. Well, if anybody's listening, I am in fact wearing the same outfit as I think every single time,
maybe,
which is just
maybe. Yeah.
Which is just a t-shirt and pajama pants.
Well, a t-shirt, no pants. Steve is treating our Skype calls as of late like a chat roulette or a Omegle kind of service, where I log on and I'm like, all right, great. Steve's cranking his hog again, and I'm just expected to not say anything. I'm expected to just sit
see,
here.
You're making this with these jokes. You're making this now a non-family-friendly podcast. So I recommend just cutting this out and let's get into the book.
Well, the problem is that
YouTube's gonna dang. Or iTunes is going to say, wow, these guys are talking about some
adult
controversial
themes.
Stuff.
Yeah.
And I will say, for the record, anyone who's listening, obviously that's a bunch of hooey.
Yeah.
But, yeah. But, nevertheless, you know, we're verging into the world of non-family friendly, and what are the kids going to think?
I mean,
they're going to think, what does he mean when he says cranking his hog? And then they're going to look it up on urbandictionary.net.
I mean, our reading for the week is all about incest, and I don't think we've ever been a family-friendly pod.
I think we should maybe try and veer into the world of being family-friendly hosts.
Because you want to get that Safeway sponsorship. You want to get that Instagram influencer money.
How am I supposed to get a JVN sponsorship if we're not family-friendly?
I've been thinking about it a lot. This is not a joke. But it is kind of a joke. I mean, it's a joke in that I would actually do it to be funny, but the results wouldn't be funny. I think I'm going to try and...
Crank your hog on some web chat?
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about?
I'm going to move the camera like this, and I'm just going to be... You know. No, nice. I think I'm going to try and become an influencer.
What's that mean?
I think I'm gonna start like I'm gonna start hashtagging all my photos on Instagram, and I'm gonna like tag the clothes that I wear, even though they're not sponsoring me. I'm just gonna like tag the brands, and I'm gonna post a lot of captions that are like, it'll be like me at Mario's with a slice of pizza, but I'm not eating it. I'm just holding it near my face, and my teeth are like really out. I'm like, and before I take the bite, and the caption will say like, pizza is like all cat pizza is bae, and then like, let me know in the comments if you like pizza, but I won't say pizza ever. It'll just be a pizza emoji, and then I'll tag like every pizza place in the city, and then I'll tag like live folk, live authentic, REI, on and on. Yeah.
That would be wild.
I think that's a good idea. I think I'll try it for a couple just to see what happens. Watch, people will go to my account and they'll see like, oh, here's a photo of Jared and Steve, 10 likes. Here's a photo of Jared, Steve, and Josh having a frizz biz, 10 likes. Here's a photo of Jared in like some Chelsea boots and a big wide brim hat holding a slice of pizza, 400 likes. What happened here?
Dang.
Anyway. We are off track. Let me do my tipple. So I have
REI sponsorship. That's what you gotta do.
I don't want to. Honestly, I don't know what I would do with an REI sponsorship. What do you have to do? You go climb.
You get a lot of. Yeah, you go climb.
I don't like climbing. I don't have that upper
body strength. You do what people. I don't know, people who like tag things, BMW, live folk, live authentic, those kinds of things.
Yeah.
You do what they do because they live like really adventurous type lives. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah. So wait, hold on. Let me get this straight. So what I would do is I'd go climbing. I'd like, maybe I move out to Granite Falls. What else do I do?
You gotta cut this out.
My tipples for this week are twofold. The first one is a big old glass of pineapple juice here, 100% pineapple juice, not from extract. And I, shout out to Trader Joe's. And I'm extremely off the pineapple juice lately because I gotta get big. It's 2018. But I'm trying to cut down on processed sugar, and I eat a lot of ice cream, even though I'm lactose intolerant, I eat a lot of ice cream. And then when I was at the store the other day, this was like a week ago, I realized, oh, there's still a lot of good fruits that Safeway has, like still fresh-ish fruit. I mean, obviously they're not in season, but they're fresh-ish. You know, what are you going to do? It's that time of year. But I was like, oh, what if I just got like a good piece of fruit for around the house so I could eat that after dinner when I get hungry instead of having ice cream or going for some candy or something like that. I'll go get a big piece of fruit because it's still high in sugar. It's still going to be sweet, but it's a natural sugar. It's going to have those enzymes that I need, specifically the pineapple.
Vitamins.
Specifically the pineapple is good because it has an enzyme that breaks down I guess I could just say food. I don't really know what exactly it does, but they say that like when your mouth will get really tender eating a lot of pineapple, it's because it's eroding the inside of your mouth. And it's like, it's good for your digestion that way because it's breaking down food, but it happens very quickly. But it's good for me because I chew the inside of my mouth. So if I'm all nervous for a day and I'm biting the inside of my mouth, go eat a bunch of pineapple and it's going to rot all that skin out almost immediately. But anyway, I bought a pineapple. It's a good fresh pineapple. Cut it open and just sat there and ate a bunch of cubes. And then the other day did the same thing. And I'm up to about a pineapple and a half a week now, eating a lot. And the pineapple juice is just the most recent iteration of that. Got to get more pineapple in my system. Got to be the sweetest boy. I'm eating pineapple now. That's the new thing. I'm going to maybe get a coconut this weekend. I'm going to have a little pineapple in the coconut and maybe get a lime in there too. I'll have a little virgin pina colada situation.
Yeah, I was gonna say, what if you make homemade pina coladas? That rings a bell.
God damn it. We don't need that. We don't have time to get into that. No, but I think that would actually, if I could get a flavorless protein powder, that would be my ideal before gym or after gym smoothie. Because the banana and the berries, that's always a move. It's a classic move. But if I could get a little pineapple, a coconut, a little lime, and then just like a flavorless powder, that's a treat. That's a lot of vitamins. That's a big treat. Anyway. The second tipple I have for this week, had my big 2-4 last weekend, and a friend of mine came through and got me a big bottle of grappa. It's big grappa hours, 40% alcohol. It doesn't say what proof. I don't know where I would find that on the bottle. But it's grappa. So grappa is it's like a clear whiskey, white whiskey. Made with the grape pomace, which is that the skin? I don't know what exactly the pomace is, but it's not like wine. It's fermented like you would whiskey, and it's very sweet. It tastes a lot like Fig Newtons or dates and like blackstrap molasses. Like it tastes a lot like it's a very natural sweetness. It's a very natural form of sugar, and it has that flavor to it, that very like kind of earthen, kind of like sticky. It almost has like a sticky flavor, if that makes sense. It's very good though. Really can't recommend it enough. Big shout out to Carl for that. If for everyone listening at home, let me give it a smell so we can get that hot take. Yeah, I mean, it smells like green grapes. It smells like green grapes and like syrup. Yeah, I think the molasses, I might have been right on the money with the molasses. Like blackstrap molasses. A little nutty. It's a real treat. And it's a weird ass bottle too, because it's a big bottle. It's a full fifth. But then this little tiny neck. Maybe I'll tweet it.
It's a portion limiter.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. The problem is I don't know how to drink. I've just been drinking it straight. I tried it chilled, and it was fine. I think it's honestly better just warm. Just warm by itself. No water to open it up. Tried a little bit. That didn't really pan out. Tried it chilled. Just putting it without any ice.
Did you mix it with LaCroix?
Huh?
Did you mix it with LaCroix?
Oh, I didn't. That'd be gross. It's whiskey. It's not a grain.
That was a joke.
Oh. Okay, well, I'd be mixing the gin with the LaCroix, you know what I'm saying? I'd be mixing the gin with the grapefruit. I'd be mixing the gin with the lemon, you know what I'm saying? I know, you know I go dumb on that. But no, it's really good. Yeah, shout out to Carl for that. It's I don't think it's a terribly expensive bottle either. It's just, it's a cool thing. I think 2018, a big takeaway from this year, just like I was doing with the sherry back in, I think it was 2016. So for everyone listening, I had a period where I had cracked the code on bringing alcohol to people's houses for parties. Because they always say like, oh, bring a bottle. And I was like, okay, well, here's what I got to do. I got to bring something that I would happily drink, that I can drink a lot of, but something that I know nobody else would want, so that when the time comes to leave, I can just grab my bottle again and take it back home with me, and nobody will bat an eye. So I got really big into drinking dry sherry, and my plan worked perfectly. My plan worked perfectly, except for like the one time it didn't, where I showed up at someone's house and no one else had brought anything yet. It was me and like five people who had showed up. And I was like, oh, well, I brought this sherry, and they didn't know about it. So they were like, oh, great, yeah, open that up, let's all get some. So now suddenly half my bottle is gone because five people have full glasses of sherry, and they're drinking it, and they're trying not to be rude. So they're like, yeah, this is pretty good. Someone else is like helping themselves, and then my bottle was gone before I knew it. And I was like, well, I was gonna drink this fishy, oily liquid. Yeah. But anyway, 2018 is just about getting into more obscure alcohols because I think... I don't enjoy drinking out in public very much. I enjoy drinking at home with a nice nightcap, especially with this pod, doing a little bit of nighttime reading, have a little bev. Do my duo have a nighttime bev? I want to get something nice for the house. Between that, you know, I got that. I got the rye. I got the Johnny Walker. I got that absinthe. You know, I'm building a nice little cabinet here. But anyway, that's my...
I don't know if it would work with your aesthetic, but, I mean, what you really got to do, the most, like, classic kind of alcohol that I assume a lot of U.S. people... don't necessarily know is rakia.
Is what?
Rakia.
What's that?
Rakia. I think it's from figs. I actually don't know. It's a big time drink only in certain countries in Eastern Europe. There are like five where it's a really, really, really big thing. Like everyone distills it. Everyone.
How do I not know about this? I might know what you're talking about. I just might not recognize the name.
It's brandy from... What is it made out of?
What do you got?
Anyway, but we can talk about that later, people.
Yeah.
Plums, yeah.
Plums,
okay. Anyway, so that's what you gotta do. You gotta really go goofy. Well, no, I was right. There are also figs and stuff like that, but anyway.
I gotta go goofy. I gotta get a tattoo of Goofy.
Anyway, that's what you gotta do. You wanna go really goofy, you get a tattoo of Goofy, and you yep. show up to every party with rakia, and I'm pretty sure it's a really burny... It really burns, and also you can drink it hot.
Ah.
And it's a very strange... Like, for a person not used to it,
yeah.
It's a very, like... It's a very, I don't know, it's probably pretty harsh.
Probably, yeah, that makes sense.
For your average Joe Schmuckatello.
Yeah, for the layperson.
Yeah, for your Joe Layberg.
For those without a discerning palate. For those who aren't used to some pretty heavy alcohol. Oh, I was talking to someone the other day.
For those with hollowed out teeth.
Just speaking
of... Oh, I don't know, teak wood for teeth.
Don't do the teak wooders like that. You're gonna alienate our teak wood fan base.
I got teak wood teeth and bubblegum tongues.
God damn. Go ahead. What? No, I was telling someone on Saturday, we were talking about maybe going laser tagging again, like Nate and all them did. Yeah. And I was talking about, I was like, yeah, the only time I had fun doing that was when I went to 7-Eleven before and got a can of 2-Eleven, and I just pounded that in the car on the way in.
Hey.
Saying that out loud now.
I was thinking about recently. Remember the Four Loko night where you, I can't remember who it was. It was you and Jordan. I was of course driving.
Sure.
But it was like you and Jordan and someone else, and you went and got Four Lokos downtown. And
that was St. Patrick's Day, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because it was me, yeah. Molly, Jordan. Yeah. We were in the US. Yeah, we went and bought Four Lokos, yeah.
Yeah, and it was just like, and I was thinking about that recently because it was a funny memory, just like watching you guys with your three different bright colors
mm-hmm.
walking down the street. And I was thinking about that, And it was also like, Four Loko is such a wild concept.
Yeah. I got a can in the fridge right now.
I don't even know what it is. I couldn't explain it to anyone outside of America, I don't think.
Oh, no.
It's not something they have everywhere, is it?
I don't know.
Like, it's an overboard kind of thing. It's like huge amounts of sugar, energy drinks, alcohol content.
The energy drink is out now because of that. People were dying from that.
That's right. Okay. So I'm not going crazy. No, Four Loko was like a wild drink.
It was lethal. Yeah. No. Loko now is the one that I have in the fridge is part of their like select line. It's the Four Loko Gold flavor, which is it's great because it's 14% alcohol, which is more than most bottles of wine. And it's malt liquor. It's basically a Steel Reserve or an OE or St. Ives or anything like that. No, not St. Ives. No, that's the lotion. What am I thinking of? Or like Mickey, I don't know. It's malt liquor and like Kool-Aid at this point. It's like, it's okay. Just like sugar water and alcohol, fortified grain alcohol.
It's you know what we should get into?
What?
Is, moonshine.
Nah, because I don't want to lose my vision. I think that gets a little too dark.
That's the thing about moonshine, is it not only affects your vision, it affects your accent. When you start drinking moonshine, you go like, who's fucking playing over here?
They tell you,
okay, only our experienced listeners are going to get that one.
Yeah, I don't want to derail too. We still need to talk about the book. I only have a short amount of time, but I just want to say one quick thing about moonshine that like really, I think sets the tone for people in other countries who are listening, or for people who don't have experience with moonshine or with moonshine culture. When I was this was in May, I went with my girlfriend out to Tennessee, where her mom lives. And we were in Tennessee for a couple days. We were in North Carolina before that. But no, we were in Tennessee for a couple days. And her mom was like, there's this place kind of where near she lives, like the town over, called Pigeon Forge. And if anyone listening knows what that is, then you're going to know exactly what I'm about to say. Pigeon Forge is like, it's in the middle of buttfuck nowhere. Like, there is literally nothing around it for, I don't know, like 100 miles in either direction. But it's like Vegas. Like it's like bigger than Vegas. It's nothing but, I don't even know if there were casinos. It's like different museums, like family friendly museums, like the Science Center, and like, yeah, rides. There's like theme parks. There's a bunch of restaurants. We went to a Margaritaville, a Jimmy Buffett's Margaritaville in Pigeon Forge. It's
fucking home of Dollywood.
Yeah, exactly.
No, Dollywood's different. Never mind. Sorry.
We did go to Dollywood, which was actually a lot of fun. Dollywood was actually kind of tight.
Okay.
But it's in the same area basically.
Wow.
It's like a vacation destination for white trash families in the South. And I was like, oh, if my family and I lived in like Savannah, Georgia, this is where we would be every summer.
Sorry to interrupt you.
Oh yeah.
But it's a lot like this town called like. Oh, where is it? It's in the middle of Wyoming. And it's called, like, America Town. No, crap.
Are you talking about, like, the Mall of America? Because that's another thing like this, sort of.
No.
America.
It's like Pigeon Forge, where there's nothing.
It's just, like, middle there's of nowhere. There's
absolutely nothing.
Theme parks and everything, yeah.
America, Wyoming. Let me check really
quick.
Yeah, here.
Well, anyway, no, so we're there, and I was already just, like, blown away. I couldn't even believe what I was. It was just so fucking weird for that to even exist. And like Vegas, I guess, is kind of like that when you think about it, because there's nothing really around Vegas, but there's like cities. People live in Las Vegas. Nobody lives in Pigeon Forge. It really is like middle of nowhere. It was fucking wild. But we went to a Jimmy Buffett's Margaritaville, and we had to take like a tram to it, which was really weird. And Margaritaville's strange in the first place. But next door to it, in the like plaza we found ourselves in, there was like a Disney's World of Color-esque fountain light show going on that people had started, like, you know, a couple hundred people were standing around just watching. And it was like, this was in between the Margaritaville and the fucking, I forget what it's called, but it's a moonshine brand that you can buy at like Safeway, where it's in little jars and they have like cherries in there, so there's very little moonshine, but it's soaked fruit, and if you eat like three of those cherries, you'll black out. So it's like, here is this like novelty, like intense alcoholics liquor flagship store, and Jimmy Buffett's Margaritaville, and in between, like, a candy store and some kind of, like, weird water attraction for families. Just everyone listening, look up Pigeon Forge. It's very strange. It's very weird what's considered, like, family-friendly. A lot of gun shit. It is very weird, yeah.
The one I was thinking of is called Little America.
Little America?
And it's not anywhere near as big as Pigeon Forge, but it's also one of those things. It's literally right off a highway.
Yeah.
It's right next to the highway as you drive by and you look to your left if you're going south in Wyoming. You look to your left and it's this little, like, how you would kind of picture Vegas, but a little more suburban.
Yeah.
And then there's one big sign that just says, I mean, it's huge. And it says, or there are two, one on each side. And one of them is like, welcome to Little America. You're here. Take this exit. Okay, standard. And then there's one that has this huge image of an ice cream cone. And it just says, 50-cent ice cream cones.
Yep. No ice cream on them. Like, just a cone.
I want to know how many people they rope in with that.
I'd go.
But it's just like this little suburban mall, like strip mall kind of.
Yeah.
Just in a circle. Just this little circle town in the middle of brown, flat, nothing Wyoming.
Yeah. Shout out Wyoming, though.
No, Wyoming. I'm not even going to get into Wyoming. Don't even start me on Wyoming.
Can't even. I mean, Yellowstone? It's overrated. It's for hacks. Welcome to David Foster Wallace and Ground. This is an anti-Yellowstone podcast.
I'll tell you, when I drove through Wyoming when I was a kid.
Yeah.
When I was a wee lad. No, not even a wee lad. A teenager. Whatever. Doesn't matter.
A normal-sized lad.
Yeah, normal-sized lad. I think I knew you then anyway, but when I was driving through Wyoming back in the day, it was nice, because you go to Yellowstone, and it's kind of, you know, you don't even pay attention, but I tell you, driving through it just recently was...
When? Oh, Jordan's move.
Yeah, Jordan's move. Yeah, and we were switching off driving, and it was just like... having an issue with the car, pulling over to the side, being attacked by a group of bees.
Yep.
driving by Little America, getting pulled over.
Oh?
It was a whole goof zone.
Wait, what'd you get pulled over for?
I tell you, it's not fun to go to Wyoming as an adult.
Wait, what'd you get pulled over for?
Probably license plate.
Oh, okay.
Because Jordan, right when he asked, like, where you guys headed, Jordan's like, Denver. And he looks at us suspiciously and then goes, so you guys don't have any drugs in here, do you? It's like, no, he's moving.
He knows what's going on.
For those that don't know, I think Jordan and I are the only two non-weedsters in the greater Seattle area.
In the world, maybe. Yeah.
In the world, maybe. We just have always not been a part of the standard, like, pothead crowd.
Yeah.
Well, and then,
I mean, you love your marijuana.
No.
You love that ganja green. Just admit it, you love that ganja green.
There was a lot of humor in that, because obviously at the time, Colorado and Washington were the only two legal marijuana depots, I'll say, in America. Maybe California, too, I can't remember. No. At the time, it was just Colorado and Washington, I think.
Yeah.
Anyway...
Oh, so he thought
and
you were...
And so, it was pretty funny, A to B, yeah. Because Jordan was just not even thinking about suspicion, and was just like, oh yeah, we're going to Denver, and we're in the middle of Wyoming, and we're coming from Seattle, with a car that's full of luggage.
Yep.
And he's just like, guy's not up to any no good, are you? It's just like, no, officer, please believe us. But and also, it was true, and it was fine.
Yeah. But you and Jordan are notorious for getting real jumpy around police.
Me?
Yeah.
No, Jordan, I was the one that was like, hey, don't worry about it. He was like, oh, man, you're cutting all this out, right? This is a huge tangent.
Yeah, I'll cut a little bit. We'll see. We'll see what comes in. We'll see what stays in. No,
To be fair, I'm just about the best person that a policeman could run into, because I'm very respectful, and I keep it quick. What do you mean, no? What are you talking about?
The cop pulls you over.
I've gotten out of so many tickets.
The cop pulls you over.
Not so many.
He walks over to your window.
That's a lot to me.
He walks over to your window. He raps on the glass. He thinks it's like a limo tint. You start to roll it down, and just billowing weed smoke pours out. and you have a huge mouthful of jay beans and you're just like, is there a problem over here? And like jay beans are spilling out of your mouth onto him.
I've gained 200 pounds.
Yep.
Yeah, I've gained 200 pounds.
You're bigger horizontally than you are vertically. We've already discussed that.
I'm bigger horizontally than I am vertically. And I go, and my voice is super high now all of a sudden. I've taken pills.
Yeah.
I've taken some pills for that, and now my voice is super high, and I go, I look at him with my mouth full of jay beans, and I go, you got a problem, Andrew? And it's as simple as that.
Well, anyway, guys, that's going to do us for this week. If you ever need to know how to get out of a ticket,
thanks for listening.
If you ever need to know how to get out of a ticket, I think Steve just set you up. All right, we don't have a whole lot of time. You want to talk about Matilda?
Now let's talk about Matilda. I mean, this is quite a transition, but...
Well, hold on. Let me ask you this, because we're at 45 minutes right now, and I'm going to cut out, I think, like 3 minutes worth of material. Do we want to start talking about Matilda and chance talking about it for, I mean, even if we talk about it for like 5 minutes, that's going to run us over our usual time. Or do we want to Skype on Sunday, regular Sunday, and talk about Matilda and the Nathaniel Hawthorne?
We can do that.
Okay.
This can just be like a Reconnect 2018 episode.
Because we keep trying to record these episodes to, like, get back in the swing of things, and it never really pans out.
Right, because we get distracted by Little America and Pigeonhole.
Yeah, because I still want to eat lunch before I have to go. For everyone listening, I got to go to a doctor's appointment about my toenails that aren't growing.
I should also be going to a doctor's appointment about this bubonic plague that I have.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to, so I have my regular doctor around here, I'm going to a naturopath. Not because that's my belief, but because, no, my family's really into it. And they were like, oh, you know, he's great because he's got a pretty, not like, it's not an open schedule, but he's a nutritionist first and foremost. So if you go to actually see him about something, you can take all day. You can be in there for 3-4 hours just chatting him up and he'll answer any question you have. So I was like, hey, you know, I got a few things that aren't pressing, but I'm interested in learning more about. Like, my toenails don't hurt. They're not discolored. They just aren't growing for some reason. And, like, I know that I ripped a bunch of hair out with that pomade and, like, stress caused them to fall out. But I'm seeing a bunch of new growth. So I just want to talk to him about, like, was it irreparable damage? Like, am I okay? Is this my hairline now? On and on. And then talk to him about, like, actually, I think that was it. Oh, just how much protein I should be taking if I'm going to be working out and, like, maybe get a more concrete diet plan. But yeah, it's just going to be, probably going to be there for a couple hours. I got to drive out to Issaquah for that, though, which isn't great.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah. It's probably
Is what your hairline? What are you talking about? Your hairline's not any different.
Yeah, it is. It wasn't always like this, right? It was like this. Right?
No. I don't know.
Well, no, so my thing is like...
This is something everybody's got.
Well, for everyone listening, you can skip around this part because I probably won't cut it out. No, so my thing is like, so these patches aren't bald. There's like short hairs here now, but before it rounded all the way off and it was all blonde hair. And the pomade, especially in summer when the sides of my hair were long too, and so it was like really long on top, it was out to, let me just clean back. I was like here on top if it was just stanking out, and I was like here on the sides and I was slicking it all back. I started to realize every day when I got out of the shower and my hair was still wet, I would work all the pomade into it. And then I would wonder like, why is my scalp blood red? Like, why am I pulling so much hair out in the shower? And I just thought it was, oh, you have, like, if you have long hair, you lose hair in the shower. Like, I have, even now with the length that it's at, like, I'll still, if I'm shampooing my hair, have a couple on my fingers, you know, that's just how it goes. But I started realizing that, and I was like, oh, shit, like, maybe this is unhealthy. And then all the stress of nominee, obviously. And then it was back in September when I cut my hair. I cut it because I was looking in the mirror and these patches that normally have a bunch of blonde hair and like blonde hair in the front, and I've always had like very thick hair, I realized that those were like polished bald. Like there's hair growing in now, but it's still going to be a long time because it was like I really lost, I ripped out, I lost a lot of hair between the pomade and like how much abuse I was doing to my scalp and all the stress from nominee. And it's like, I don't have any bald spots. I don't have any patches, but my hair is noticeably thinner, at least per my understanding of it, like my touch. So I just want to go and see like is there irreparable damage? If it is, like, is what I'm doing now fine? Is this the situation? Or if, you know, considering that there has been new growth in these patches, like, that it seemingly over the past year is trying to repair itself, like, am I going to be okay? Because I don't, there's no reason why I should be losing my hair at 24, given that my entire mom's side of the family has full thick heads of hair, herself included, and my grandparents on both sides do. My dad is mostly bald, but that shouldn't affect me because his dad has a full head of hair, and his dad had a full head of hair, and his dad. Like, my dad's sort of an outlier. So I'm thinking, like, you know, I just want to ask some questions. Yeah, I just want to get some answers, you know. But, yeah. No, you're, yeah, because you're doing fine. Your hair is long. You got thick hair.
I don't know. Maybe.
I don't know.
Probably fine.
I think so.
It gets long. It has a, you know, the separation point back here.
Right. Well, yeah. Well, I got really stressed out about that because my last barber, I went back to my guy in Bellevue. I'm having to go wait on my way to get my haircut now, but the guy who I got my haircut by last time with the bourbon at that fucking place near me, he fucked me up because I got out of the shower and I was like, holy shit, do I have a bald spot on the back of my head? And for like a week I kept feeling it and it was destroying my self-esteem. And then one day I was talking about it and Ashley was like, hold on, just let me see it. So she lifts my hair up and she's like, no, that's your hairline when he shaved the back. But he like, there was like a big scab. He's like, he just like buzzed really hard one part of it and like chopped a bunch off down to the skin and it was like still trying to heal. And she's like, no, he just fucked your shit up. I was like, oh, okay, well, I'll go back to my normal barber then. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, these are things that, like, for everyone listening,
wait, are we keeping this in? Okay,
yeah, I mean, why not? I think people, that's how you generate a fan base, is vulnerability. No, for everyone listening, I think if you're a like 20 plus year old man, the thought of balding is almost like ever present, I think. So, you know, if you start to feel like something's happening, start taking some damn biotin, talk to a medical professional. You know, I see people are getting their hairlines tattooed back on now, which is pretty buck wild. Also, for everyone listening who can't see my face, to the layperson, there is nothing wrong with my hair. Don't think that you're listening to some ugly person do this podcast, because I'm not an ugly person. I'm a sweet little boy. I got this pineapple juice.
That's me.
No, there are no
ugly
people.
We have to balance.
Welcome to David Foster Wallace and Gromit. This is an anti-ugly person fucking pod. Eat my whole butt. No, but I just want to make people...
Hey, shoot us an email and let us know if you think if we're ugly or not.
Yeah, send us photos of yourself to make sure that we can designate whether you're ugly or not.
Or rate us, like I said.
Please don't do either of those things. I gotta cut that out.
Please do. No, you can't cut that out. You gotta rate...
Please,
okay,
please
I give
do.
You permission to rate me. I accept only ratings between 1 and 4 on a scale from 1 to 10.
There you go. Anyway, so Sunday we're gonna come back with a new pod. Talk about Matilda. Talk at length about that. Goof around a little bit more. And then we're gonna be talking about Nathaniel Hawthorne's... Fragments from the Journal of a Solitary Man, because we already read, I mean, at this point, we're coming up on like 2 weeks since we both finished Matilda, so we want to be able to talk about that, but also have something a little more fresh in our minds that we can touch base on and kind of play with. To my understanding, those are both pretty disparate, unrelated works, but I think it'll be a good read. We haven't done any Hawthorne, and then I have... a couple things that I'm excited about that we can talk about come Sunday for the following weeks. Anyway.
There you go.
Looks like we didn't get a chance to talk about Infinite Jest this week. Sunday we'll get to that. This was kind of just a touching base pod. Just wanted to goof around. Have a little spoof. Have a little goof. And come Sunday, Steve will be feeling better so we can get back into the big tipple zone. I'll be tipped up, tipped out off this grappa. Have a full grappa review. A 5-star grappa review. Or five-point checklist review. And I think that's going to do us for this week. So stay tuned for that. Shoot us an email, davidfosterwallaceandgromit@gmail.com. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts or iTunes, wherever. David Foster Wallace and Gromit. We're on Twitter, DFWAGpod. And I think that's it. We'll see you Sunday.
Thanks, everyone.